And just because that person is sleeping with another person, and that person think that God does not know. Whatever the wicked sin is, once they do that, guess what? You make a bet, you have to lie on that thing. There's a consequence in every action and reward. Church-going people, Charles Spurgeon said, I cannot exactly quote it, but this pretty much this is the summary of it. They take care of the Bible very well. They bring out the Bible from their coffee table or bookshelves or even trunk of their car. Then they go to church. And then come when they leave the church, put it back in the trunk or back to the bookshelves or back to the coffee table. It does not even move until next Sunday come around, they pull out the Bible. Well, at least they are better than not going to church at all. And sometimes those Bibles collect the dust so thick enough, you can write damnation. That's what the Spurgeon said. It is true. A lot of people don't have a focused idea where the Genesis is. Well, first book of the Bible. Reason? Because they don't crack the Bible. If you've been coming to a church for quite some time, if you've been in the Lord quite some time, may I suggest that you memorize the index of Bible, 66 books. It's not that difficult to memorize. That way, when I say Jeremiah, you know where that is. You can pretty much go into the vicinity of that. It is important for you to know the Bible. There's a precious promise. Jeremiah 31, 34, please. Jeremiah 31, 34. Jeremiah is located right after Ezekiel. I'm sorry, Isaiah. 31, 34. For I will forgive their iniquities, their sins I will remember no more. Jesus said. Sorry. 31, 34. Jeremiah. Did you find it? Okay. Way down. Way down in the bottom portion. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Second bottom portion of the 34, verse 34. Way in the bottom of the 34. Okay, let's read it from the 34. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man and his brother, saying, and know the Lord, and for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sins I will remember no more. Only way he can do it is that this is a literal prophecy through the substitute of Jesus Christ. His atoning sacrifice can make God to forgive and forget our sins. No other way. Until then, it was covered. Israel was after foreign idols and as their gods with a passion, and they deserted one true God. However, let me rephrase that. That is not a correct way to say it. They did not desert God in a sense. They include God with other idols. We will serve one true God as well as all these other gods. Can it be done? No way. A lot of people in America do that. Yeah, I'm an American, so I got to be a Christian, and I will also serve God of New Age, God of this, God of that. God does not share that kind of thing with anyone else. Let's continue in verse 8 of chapter 7. Ephraim has mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is the caked unturned. Alien has devoured his strength, but he does not know it. Yes, gray hair are here and there on him. Yet he does not know it. And the pride of Israel testified to his face, but they do not return to their Lord their God, to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. In that day, the bread was baked on both sides with a, made out of dough, and it's more like a pancake. What we just read is that he baked the one side of the cake, but he just left it there. So one side is cooked, but the other side is still raw. This is the illustration that Hosea is trying to tell us. This is one side is they are serving God, but the other side they are serving idol. We're going to see many illustrations that Hosea bringing to our presence. Nation is being ravaged by the sin, but they don't know it and choose not to know about it. Again, let's go back to the Jeremiah 17. The reason why it continues going back to Jeremiah, Jeremiah is a contemporary with Hosea, and he is the kind of guy who talked about the same thing and telling people to repent. 17, verse 9. Some of you guys know this. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Actually, we don't know how deceitful we are. Folks, in here, in this room, we all look good and, you know, everybody looks holy. And some of you guys think, I am close to perfect, but you're not. To your surprise, you're not perfect and you're not as holy as you think. Man has amazing capability to deceive himself when he is in sin. They choose not to hear anything other than their own justification in their own heart. And they will even say, God doesn't expect me to go through this horrible thing, so that's why I'm doing this. How often we try to justify our own sin and try to make it right in our own sight instead of God's sight. This is kind of thing is happening in these people. Let me put it this way. Remember Samson? You know, the CEO of the company of Samsonite Corporation? This guy is the strongest wimp in my opinion. He could slay thousands of Philistines with a bare hand or jawbone of a donkey. This guy is the kind of guy who make the Rambo look like a little sissy boy. And he should be a poster boy for the, you name it, Delta Force, SAS from England, or the Special Forces guy. They all combined still is their wimp. Why he was so strong? Was he muscular guy like a Donnie over there? No, he's not. Probably the reason why he was so strong is because he was anointed by God, Holy Spirit was with him. There's a sad portion, probably one of the saddest Bible verses, in my opinion, is chapter 16, verse 20 of Judges. You can take a look at it. Right after, he's been playing, dabbling in the sins so long, even though he was judge, he was the head man of the entire Israel. He's been dabbling with the sin so long that his conscience become so callous, he didn't know whether the Spirit was with him or no longer with him. When the Spirit left him right after Delilah cut off his hair, he didn't know. He thought he could whip the Philistine again. Guess what? He was the wimp. He was the one who lost. God forgive us if we come to that point. Come to the point we no longer notice the Holy Spirit within us. Holy Spirit convicts us when we do wrong things. Correct? If we are sensitive enough, we will listen to Him, we will ask forgiveness, and we will make our way right with God. But there will be a time, if we say to Holy Spirit so often, continuously, there will be time we no longer hear His word or His conviction. And He will stop speaking to us. And He will let us go down, all the way down, so that our soul might be saved. Verse 11. Ephraim also is like a silly dog without... This is another illustration He's giving to us. Without sense, they call to Egypt and they go to Assyria. Wherever they go, I will spread my net on them. I will bring them down like a bird of the air. I will chastise them according to what the congregation has heard. Woe to them, for they have fled from me. Destruction to them, because they have transgressed against me, though I redeemed them. Yet they have spoken lie against me. They did not cry out to me, and with their heart, when they wailed upon their bed. They assembled together for grain and new wine. They rebel against me. Though I disciples, disciplined and strengthened their arms, yet they devised evil against me. They returned, but not to the Most High. They are like a treacherous bow. The prince shall fall by the sword, by the cursing of their tongue. They shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. Hosea used many different illustrations, as I said before, to emphasize the sins of Israel. Now, the Israel is like a bird fluttering to the wrong direction. This is my idea of the bird brain action. Confused without any direction. When they're supposed to run to God, guess where they run to? They go to Egypt, they go to Assyria. Let's put it in our term. When we're supposed to God, we should go to God in our prayer first. We do everything else. Okay? We depend on other people. We cry out to somebody and credit card, all these things first. And when that doesn't work, guess what we say? Only thing I have left to do is pray. Shouldn't that be the first one, first choice to go to God and ask God? Instead of running to all the other directions, instead of going to Egypt, going to Assyria, going to wherever, Ethiopia, why not go to one true God first? Let's go to Luke chapter 12, please. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. Israel's guilt is increased according to what they have heard, what they learned. Last midweek service right here, I told you guys it's better for the poor people not to come and not hear about the Word of God than continue to come and not do it. Remember that? Let's read what the word Jesus says. But he who did not know yet committed the things deserving of strife shall be beaten with a few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. Would you underline and memorize that in your heart? So the more you learn about the Word of God, the more you will be required to follow the Word of God. If you don't, the knowledge you have, the knowledge I have, will stand against and testify against us. Continuing there. And to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. America people, in general, we don't have any excuse. Tell other people, tell God that we never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you agree? If you've been living in America for some time, you're bound to get to hear some portion of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pretty much every day from Monday through Friday, if they are driving in Tucson and somewhere in this Pima County area, they will hear the gospel message with 1 minute of truth from our church. And 25,000 people are average listening each day. And they are accountable for that. And someday they will stand in the presence of God. They have to say, yeah, I heard it, but I ignored it. Continuing verse 1 of chapter 8 of Hosea. Set the trumpet to your mouth, and he shall come like an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and rebelled against my law. Israel will cry to me, my God, we know you. On the line, we know you, please. Israel has rejected the good. The enemy will pursue him. We set up the kings, but not, they set up the kings, but not by me. They made princes, But not, I did not acknowledge them. From their silver and gold they made idol for themselves, that they might be cut off. Your calf is rejected, O Samaria. My anger is aroused against them. How long till they attain to innocence? For from Israel is even this. Workmen made it, and it is not God. But calf of the Samaria shall be broken to pieces. They sow the wind, they reap the whirlwind. The stalk had no bud. It shall never produce a meal. If it should produce, alien would swallow it up. Trumpet is to call and assemble the God's people for the military action. Here, God is commanding sound the trumpet to gather mighty Assyrian against the Israeli people. By using them, he's going to judge the Israeli people. Israeli did not know, says that they really didn't know God. And that is true. I can say that for the mature of the church goer nowadays. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7, please. Matthew 7, 22. Are you guys with me? I ask you on the line, we know you. This is the explanation what Jesus is going to say. 7:22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Let me put it this way, guys. Don't believe everything you see on quote-unquote TV evangelist program. Just because they extend the leg of the one person and raise the person from the wheelchair, don't believe what you see. If they are true, why do they have to beg for money? Why do they have to sell handkerchief for $100? If they have a true faith, why don't they exercise their faith instead of begging for money? I think I quote about Benny Hinn. There's not one single proof that somebody's truly healed from the beginning. Let's continue in chapter 8, verse 8 of Hosea. Israel is swallowed up. Now they are among the Gentiles like a vessel in which is no pleasure. For they have gone up to Assyria like a wild donkey alone is by itself. Ephraim has hired lovers. Yes, though they loved hired among the nations. Now I will gather them, and they shall sorrow a little because of the burden of the kings and princes. Because Ephraim has made many altars for sin, they have become for him altars for sinning. I have written for him the great things of my law, but they are considered strange things. For the sacrifice of my offering, they sacrifice flesh and eat it. But the Lord does not accept it. Now he will remember their iniquities and punish their sins. They shall return to Egypt, for Israel has forgotten his maker and has built a temple. Judah also has multiplied fortified cities, and I will send fire upon his city, and it shall devour his palaces. It seems like Israel, the judgment received is worse than what they should receive. Now, remember this, please. When we sin against God, God is so merciful, he prolonged the judgment. How long did it take for God to punish the people on the earth while Noah was building an ark? How many years? 120 years. Don't you think that's rather a long time for the people to repent? 120 years. God has been merciful to America since 1960, ever since the what's that woman's name? Huh? Yeah. Not only that, taking the Ten Commandments out. If you notice, ever since then, we lost a lot of wars. Before then, we never lost a war. Think about it. We kicked God out from our government, our society, and we expect God to protect us. That's a joke. When we give ourselves opportunity to sin by putting ourselves in that position, guess what we're going to do? We will sin. For example, let's say there is a person who is struggling with the pornography. And that person is not putting any content watch software for the internet. And that person is using internet quite often and there's no accountability. Guess what that person will do? Most likely will end up in the pornography website. Let's put another example. Make another example. Let's say this guy is an alcoholic. He got a job as a waiter in the bar. Do you think that's a good idea? It's like walking around with a gun in his head with playing Russian roulette. If that person have a problem with the sin, and why is that person playing with the opportunity to sin against God? Obviously, all of us have that potential to do so. Why do we give ourselves opportunity to sin against God? We do that. We continuously ignore God's warning against our pride, and then we start to replace God with ourselves, with our accomplishment, our bank account, and our own kingdom. But we still want God, though, right? We still want God as rescue 911 emergency personnel. When we get into this tight corner, let's call on God as a last resort. But we expect God to drop everything, come rescue us. Would he? Most likely not. If I know him, even a small portion, he will let us suffer so that we may not turn against him like that again. That's what Israel did. Verse 1 of chapter 9. Do not rejoice, O Israel, like a joy like other people, for you have played a harlot against your God. You have made love for hire on every threshing floor. The threshing floor and the winepress shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail in her. They shall not dwell in the Lord's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, shall eat unclean things in Assyria. They shall not offer the wine offerings to the Lord, and nor shall their sacrifice be pleasing to him. It shall be like a bread of the mourners to them. All who eat shall be defiled. For their bread shall be for their own life, and it shall not come into the house of the Lord. What will you do in the appointed day and in the day of the feast of the Lord? For it indeed they are gone because of destruction. Egypt shall gather them up, and Memphis shall bury them. Nettles shall possess their valuables of silver, and thorns shall be in their tents. The day of punishment have come. The day of recompense have come. Israel knows. Prophet is a fool, and a spiritual man is insane because of the greatness of your iniquity and great enmity. The watchman of Ephraim is with my God, but the prophet of a fowler snares in all his way. Enmity in the house of God, his God. They are deeply corrupted as in the day of Gibeah. He will remember their iniquity. He will punish their sins. At the time of Hosea, then it seems like everything is going well. They have money and they are doing, economy is going well, so they thought they can handle the situation. Israel practiced idolatry on the threshing floor, and which is where the grain is processed. So since they practiced idolatry on every threshing floor, God says, okay, you think your God, your idols, can handle and give you the more money, more food, I'll stop your food from harvesting. And they got, went down. If that's not good enough, they tried to get the help from the Egypt and Assyria. God used Assyria and Egypt to bombard them, to conquer them, put them under slavery. God, Israeli people did not honor God upon the feast days. There's a new moon day and Sabbath, so on. So what the God did? Okay, you don't want this kind of things for the celebration of God's goodness? You aren't going to have it. They become slaves, other nations. Let's continue verse 10. I found Israel like a grapes in the wilderness. I saw your father as the first fruit of the fig tree in its first season. But they went to the Baal pier and separated themselves to death shame. They became abomination like the things they loved. Things they loved. And as for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird. No birth, no pregnancy, no conception. Though they bring up the children, yet I will bereave them to the last man. Yes, woe to them when I depart from them. Just as I saw Ephraim like a tire, planted in a pleasant place. So Ephraim will bring out his children to the murderers. Give them, O Lord, what will you give? Give them a miscarrying womb and a dry breast. Israel people loved disgraceful idols such as Ashtoreth and Baal. And if you know, if you did some study on Ashtoreth and Baal, they are fertility gods. And one of the way to worship their god is harlot prostitution in front of their own gods. You want that kind of thing? So, okay, the God is saying, all right, we are not going to have any children. Miscarriage, barren wombs, and dry breast. And Hosea was praying against these people, and he stopped, and he examined his heart, and he said, okay, let's have mercy on these people. Because judgment is coming, he asked God, no more children. Miscarriage and barren wombs. So there won't be any children. Isn't it true when the people go through a real difficult time, if they have to run away from disaster or war, it's better not to have a children, because children is the one who suffer. You all know that when the tsunami attacked, which age group got killed the most? Children. When the war happened, which age group get killed most? Children. Let's continue verse 15. All their wickedness in the Gilgal, for there I hated them. Because of the evil of their deeds, I drive them from my house. I will love them no more. All their princes are rebellious. Ephraim is stricken. Their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit. Yes, were they to bear children. I will kill the darlings of their wombs. My God will cast them away. Because they did not obey him, they shall be wonders among the nations. Since they choose not to follow God, and God says, get out of my house. And he evicted them to the foreign country. One of the main reasons that Israel went after the idol like a Baal or Ashtoreth is, as I said, because of fertility things. God said, no more. I said this before. Think about it. There's two races existing in just about every nation. By sheer number, Chinese are everywhere. And that's the reason why you can find Chinese restaurants everywhere. Second one is Jewish people. They are scattered all over the world. Do you know there are more Jewish people in New York City than whole country in Israel? There are more Jewish people in New York City than the whole entire country of the nation of Israel. They're all over. Because of this kind of situation, because they did not keep the God's law, now at this point they do not know whether they are tribe of Levi or tribe of Manasseh or Ephraim or Judah. None of them know their tribes. But God will bring them together. And God will bring them 12,000 male virgins from each tribe. 144,000 during the time of tribulation. God knows their origin. Let's make one application. In everything we do, as I said before, we must face the result. Reward from God or consequences of our stupidity. Don't expect that God's going to reward us when we do things wrong. The reward may not come right away with the way we want it, but God does remember. We need to remember God never make us do wrong. Rather, He wants us to do what is right in His sight. No stupid decision from our part, that means no need to come up with an excuse. Seems like a very simple ask things, but we do wrong things. There's always consequences and reward for everything we do. This is what I heard from Pastor Chuck when I was at the Pastor's Conference in Murrieta, California. He didn't joke around. This is so serious, he didn't joke around. He's not the kind of person who jokes around anyway. He said, next year when we get together, some of you would not be here because you will go down. You get involved with someone else other than your wife, or you will get involved with the pornography, some of you will not come back. Was he making a prophecy? No, it's pretty much calculated guess. Every year, Calvary Chapel pastors go down. It's not just Calvary Chapel pastors. Any pastors, any Protestant evangelical pastors, some of them go down because they didn't guard their heart. And they didn't think about what? This particular word called consequences right there. If we think about consequences, we will not do the things that we want to do. So next time before you click, next time before you do something else, open up the bottle or whatever, smoke another joint, whatever that is, think about the consequences. Is it worth it? Is it worth it to displease God? Is it worth it to give ammunition to the enemy so they can blaspheme God's name? Let's stand up and pray.